Well, eventually, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Last week, we sort of wrapped up in 2 Corinthians toward the end of chapter 4, looking not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen, and considered a little about what that's talking about. And then we finished up in chapter 5, which is where I want to pick it up this week. I want to just look at this for a little bit, and I think it'll be a great blessing. These are simple truths, but boy, the more you look at it and the more you think about it, it gets bigger, it gets clearer what these verses mean, even though you may have read them 1,000 times. God's Word's always like that. That's one of my favorite things about God's Word. You read something you thought you understood, and you go, whoa, I didn't know that. And so it's pretty cool. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to pick it up in verse 16. It says, wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more, an ellipsis here, after the flesh, or according to the flesh. And this is really fantastic to see this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The word creature is the word for creation. He is a new creation. Old things are passed away, or the old has passed away. Behold, and then King James reads, all things are become new. It's more accurately, the new is come, or the new things have come. Okay? We are a new creation in Christ. Last week we briefly considered a little bit regarding knowing no man after the flesh. And I want you to hearken back to some of the things that we've looked at over the past few weeks. Jesus Christ is the firstborn out from the dead. The firstborn. This day have I begotten thee. Jesus Christ in his resurrected body is the firstborn of a new race of men. This is really something. Jesus Christ is first or preeminent. Okay? And we've looked at all these verses over the past few weeks. So we have known Jesus Christ according to the flesh, but we don't know him like that anymore because that's not who he is anymore. See? That's not who he is. He now has a spiritual body, which we read about in 1 Corinthians 15. Right? So, that's not who he is. Okay? So, we know no man after the flesh, yea, not we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. There if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Okay? This new creation is something that is brand new. It's something that is newly created in Christ. And that's what I want to take a few minutes to look at this morning. And I want you to turn to John chapter 3. Just as Jesus Christ was raised with a spiritual body in Romans for now, when he was raised, we were what? We were raised with him. See? That's right. And we're gonna look at a little bit of that. But for now, I want you to turn to John, Gospel of John chapter 3. Love the Gospel of John. And these are going to be some familiar verses, but just in light of what we're looking at this morning, this is the record of Jesus Christ talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a rabbi, and he came to Jesus Christ at night and asked him some questions. Jesus answered and said unto him in verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, it's interesting because this word, again, it can be understood as from above, which it is. But here, Nicodemus understood it as being born again, a second time. And that's why he's asking the question he's asking. Then it says, verse 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, thou must be born again. This is something brand new, something brand new. In 1 Peter 1:23, it says that we are born again, or being born anew, is what that word again means, being born again of incorruptible seed. It's a new birth, something brand new. I want you to turn to James chapter 1. And I want to read a verse there before we go on. Book of James. James chapter 1. Let's read verse 17. And this is speaking regarding God. And in verse 17, it says, Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Boy, what a great title. Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning or shifting shadows. Isn't that something? God is light. Of his own will, begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures or created beings. Isn't that something? That we should be a kind of first fruits of his created beings. On our way to Romans, I wanted to stop at Colossians 1 and reread something that we read a couple of weeks ago. Colossians chapter 1. I bet you some of you guys have figured out what I'm going to read. This is speaking regarding Jesus Christ. Verse 14 reads, well, let's read verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power or the authority of darkness, and hath translated or given us citizenship into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption. Through his blood is not in the text. So it would read, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Who, regarding Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every created being. Now this is explained in verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence or first in rank. See? Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead. He's the firstborn of those created beings. Isn't that something? Of every created being. It is by Jesus Christ, we've read earlier, that God is framing or preparing the age and the ages to come through Jesus Christ. He's firstborn. You and I, having the deposit of spirit, of that life, are a type of first fruits of those created beings. See? For when we're gathered together with Jesus Christ, we will have a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. Isn't that amazing? Ah! It's so cool. All right, let's go to Romans. This is something new. This is something new. We are new creations. You know, we're not a reformed Jew. We're not an upgraded Gentile. But we're a new creation with God's law written in our inner parts. Isn't that something? It's God that works in us to will and to do. That's not conditional. He just does because we have spirit. It's really something. And we're placed in this body of Christ with an entirely new relationship with God never seen before. The relationship that God has with us and the relationship that we have with him and the access that we have to him, never seen before. And it's all because we're in Christ. We are a new creation. Just amazing. And while I was talking, I didn't turn to Romans chapter 7. So I'm going to do that right now. Romans 7. Let's pick it up in verse 4. Verse 4. Boy, this is wonderful. Wherefore, my brethren. Now he is, in the context here, he is writing to those who know the law. Okay, you can read that in the 7:1. Verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Okay? For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin or the sufferings of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. When we were in the flesh, those motions of sins, this flesh is something that they were no longer in. They were delivered by Christ. When they were in the flesh, they were subject to the law. But they're no longer in the flesh, and hence no longer subject to the law. And the way this is being laid out is really beautiful, because to the Judean mind, and it's just so gracious how God does this, to the Judean mind, it was understood, and the analogy of marriage was used. And once the spouse dies, they're released and can marry another. And that's the illustration that's being used here. See? And it's hearkening back to 6, where it says, when he died, you died with him. See? So we walk, you know, in newness of spirit. See, reckoning ourselves to be dead. And this is, he's further illustrating it for these saints. But you see how that's used. They were in the flesh when they were under the law. Look at Romans chapter 8. And we're going to pick it up, and we're just going to read a little bit here. Romans 8 verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And the rest of this verse is not in the text. And the condemnation is referring back to Romans 5. Okay? Referring back to Romans 5. From Adam came sin, death, and condemnation. Okay? From Jesus Christ, our new head, comes grace, righteousness, and life. And that's what Romans 5 lays out. Henceforth, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. We're a new creation. 4, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of the sin and the death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned the sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the what? After the Spirit. See, isn't that something? That nature that we've received from God. See? And with that Spirit is described. It's described by God in one way as his law being written in our inward parts. Isn't that something? See? It's just beautiful. I want to pick it up in verse 8. We're going to skip the parentheses here. Verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, or since it is, that the Spirit of God dwell in you. See? We are not in the flesh. We are in Christ. We are no longer in the flesh. We are in Christ. That's right. We're to know no man after the flesh. All those in Christ are a new creation. It is from Adam. It is identifying with Adam that causes, or that is the source of, you know, status, divisions, all the things that divide people up. We're to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ because I'm in Christ. And I am to identify my brothers and sisters in Christ as in Christ, a new creation. See? It's the Lord Jesus Christ that unites, nothing else. We can have different opinions on a lot of different things. Doesn't matter when it comes to this. Jesus Christ is what unites. He is our Lord. We are going to be with him for all of eternity, together. That's what we look at. That's what we focus on. Isn't that beautiful? It's just beautiful. So, we are no longer in the flesh, but in Christ Jesus. We're going to pick it up in verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And again, that word Abba is that endearing. It's like daddy in our culture. Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be, or since it is that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And we considered a little bit about this last week, right? Where that, with this temporary weight is producing for us this temporary affliction is producing for us a far greater weight of glory. Isn't that something? Ha ha! See, we're heirs, we're children of God, we're new creations, we're new, we're in Christ, and that's how we see one another. You know, and honestly, you know, that's what walking in love looks like. See? It's understanding the value of that one that Jesus Christ died for and seeing them in light of that instead of some other difference that you may have. It's just so wonderful, so simple. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to pick it up in verse 9. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Aren't you glad the Bible doesn't end there? Verse 11, and such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified. You are sanctified or made holy. Sanctified or made holy. But you are justified or made righteous in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. By the Spirit of our God. And then he goes on to say how all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. That Spirit of God is the very life of God, and it is by that I'm made righteous. It's by that I'm made holy. And such were some of you. No longer. God does not see us as in the flesh. He sees us as in Christ. Period. And that day is coming when we're going to know as we are known. But we can consider one another as being in Christ and seeing one another as in Christ. See? And we do it out of reverence for our Lord Jesus Christ and what it is that he went through for each one of us. It's really that simple. To not see one another in the flesh, it's sometimes the mind goes to, our weaknesses, our shortcomings, and we don't see one another in light of those things. We don't judge one another in light of those things. That's part of this also. Not seeing each other according to the flesh. There's a day coming, and we're all waiting for it together. We're going to be changed. We're all going to be changed. And we're all going to have new bodies. And we're all going to know even as we're known. It's going to happen. So we focus on those things. We think about those things in Christ. I want you to turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. And we're just about done. But I wanted to look at this. We have been placed in this body of Christ and given grace to function by way of Spirit in this one body. Every one of us has something to contribute. Every one of us brings something to this by way of Spirit. It's really something. We're all vital. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this, but it's this body of Christ and what God has done is really amazing. And it's a glimpse. It's a glimpse of something coming. But I want you to turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 2, which I already told you to do, and I didn't do it. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to pick it up. Let's pick it up in verse 13. New creations. Verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes or in past times or at one time were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he, Christ, is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And this is referring to, and we'll see that clearly in a minute, but it's referring to the Judean and the Gentile. There were only two classifications of people in God's eyes. Today we have like 73 different races. But in God's eyes, there's Judean and Gentile. That's it. Those are the two classifications of people. One had the promises regarding the covenant and the new covenant to come. The other did not. Okay. Isn't that something? So, it's making a reference to the temple very briefly. That wall of partition. You had the court of the Gentiles and they could go no further under penalty of death. And that middle wall of partition has been removed. So it's building to something great here. He, Christ, is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity or the hostility, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make, to create. It's the same word as create that's used in verse 10. To create in him of two, one new man. Isn't that something? So you have the Judean. You have the Gentile. The two classifications of people. And what God has done has taken these, and when they either believe on Christ, they are now a new creation. That's something. A new man. That's right. This speaks to the what's referred to a little later here as the mystery. It was known that Gentiles would be blessed by Jesus Christ, by the Messiah's, by the ministry of the Messiah. He would be a light to lighten the Gentiles. There are a number of things, but this is what, had the devil known, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory, that he would take of the two and make one. New race of men under Jesus Christ as the head. See, isn't that something? He's our new head. Adam was, Jesus Christ is now. It's just that simple. What's been accomplished here. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make it himself of two, one new, making peace, that he might reconcile both the Judean and the Gentile unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Isn't that something? Not present them as two bodies, but as one. One. It's just breathtaking. We have that deposit, and the day, again, it's coming, and it's coming. We're going to be like Jesus Christ. We're going to be just like him. But this is how we can see each other now. This is part of that focusing on things. You know, we're going to see this in that day of redemption. But until then, we walk as those who are redeemed. See? It's really beautiful. I want to close here. We're going to go down to Ephesians, please. Chapter. You know, I just thought of something else, too. What God has done in bringing that Judean and Gentile together in Christ, it's a glimpse. It's just a glimpse of something we looked at and opened up with weeks ago. And it's in Ephesians 1:10, referring to the fullness of time when God will gather all things together in Christ. See? This is sort of a glimpse. This is a beginning of what it is that God has in store, you know, in the age, in the ages. Isn't that something? Man, and we get to partake in that. It's just amazing. Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to begin in verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, whom less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the untrackable, unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship or the administration of the mystery, which from the beginning of the age hath been hid in God. The rest of that verse is not in any critical Greek text. Verse 10, to the intent that now, this is breathtaking, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, in the heavenly realm or in the spiritual realm, might be known by the church the manifold or multifaceted wisdom of God. It's known by the church, which is the church of the body, who is made up, which is made up of new creations in Christ. Ah! And in that, to the spiritual realm, they are seeing this multifaceted wisdom of God and what he has done, what he has accomplished, and what he is preparing in Christ for the ages to come. Isn't that amazing? So, these are some things to chew on. These are some things to think about. And again, the more you see these things, the grace of God, you just sit back and it's like, you know, you can't earn this stuff. So you just don't try. Enjoy it. That's what we do. Isn't that wonderful? So I love you guys, and that's what I wanted to share. So I think I'm